Welcome to Coach on the Rise, the podcast for all coaches of all sports. This podcast is a True North Sports production with the simple purpose of building a community of coaches who want to learn together, grow together, and support each other. If you'd like to learn more about True North Sports, please look for our info in today's show notes. Thank you for joining us, and now on to our show.
Hey coaches, welcome to episode 11. I'm happy to be here, and I'm your host for this episode, Ramal Olasan. In today's podcast, we're going to hear from Colleen Munson, the head women's volleyball coach at Western Michigan University, and Holly Hesse, the head women's softball coach at Missouri State University. They have been using Habitudes with their teams, and they're going to share the impact that it's had with them over the last year. But first, some Camp Elevate information. Camp Elevate is coming up in less than a month, and it's not too late to sign up. Camp Elevate is from May 29th to 31st on the campus of the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs. Don't forget, if you're an alumni of Camp Elevate, the Coach on the Rise Academy, or our ACIP program, you get a special rate. For more information on Camp Elevate, visit this website, www.truenorthsports.net. Now, back to the podcast. We're going to dive right on in with Teresa Beckman as our interviewer.
All right, so I am here with Colleen Munson, the head volleyball coach at Western Michigan University, and Holly Hesse, the head softball coach at Missouri State University. First of all, thank you both for agreeing to talk about this topic for True North Sports in the Coaches on the Rise podcast.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. All right, so this is a really fun topic for me. We're going to talk about, you have both been using Habitudes with your team. And Habitudes, just to remind people in case they don't know, are images that help form leadership habits and actions. And so, or leadership habits and attitudes. And they were created by Growing Leaders and Dr. Tim Elmore. And you're both using them with your teams. And I am also, just oddly, just so like the audience knows, kind of working with Habitudes with both of you separately. And both of you have noticed some changes in just how you're enjoying coaching. And we want to get into that for this conversation because Dr. Tim Elmore is actually going to be in Colorado Springs with us at Camp Elevate. Before we do that, I just want to hear from both of you, for the audience sake, how long you've been coaching, just a quick overview of your path. And if Holly, if you'd like to go first, that would be good.
Sure. I am celebrating my 30th year as the head softball coach at Missouri State. And I was an assistant coach for 6 years prior to my first head coaching job and have just loved being at Missouri State and have stayed there throughout my entire coaching career. And, you know, in 30 years, I thought I had really tried everything, seen everything, done everything. And to me, what I love about coaching is the challenge to continue to be creative, to continue to find new ways to communicate and connect with the student athlete. And I'll tell you, just, you know, using the Habitudes and having Tree as a resource. And then I'm also fortunate enough to have a guy in our community named Noble, who was one of the original writers of the Habitudes as well, and speakers about them. Just having those two people as resources on how to really incorporate the Habitudes into our team culture and communication. And I cannot tell you when I have enjoyed coaching more than I am this year, just because I found new ways to connect with this generation. And it's just really lit my spirit up again for coaching.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We're going to get into that way more too. I can't wait to dive in. Colleen, would you tell everybody a little bit about your path?
Sure. I was an assistant coach for 3 years under Kathy George here at Western Michigan. And then I went off to be a head coach at East Carolina for 5 years and came back, and we're going into our 15th season here as a head coach at Western Michigan. So throughout that time, we have, just to echo what Holly's saying, seen some different generations come through as far as student athletes. And I think I was coached in a particular way with a unique perspective. And I used to coach that way. That was what I knew and what I understood and how I learned to be motivated myself and how to motivate students. And about five to eight years ago, it changed a little bit. And I started seeing some changes in the student athletes. And I was fighting it a little bit in my head and, you know, in my heart. And we've had a lot of success on and off the court, growing up student athletes into young women and learning the life skills and such. So I didn't feel like I was the one that needed to change. And I just couldn't figure out why I wasn't having that same connection or same relationship with student athletes. And then I did some research to read a lot of books, listened to a lot of podcasts, found out and was connected to Habitudes and started reading their books and bringing some of the information into our program. And we just, the last couple seasons have done more and more with you and with Growing Leaders and just really found a way to connect with this generation and appreciate and love on. And I think that's been the unique perspective that we have had as a program. And it's made all the difference to understand their perspective and to step back and to really listen and grow as a coach.
That's awesome. You talked just before we started, just before we hit record, you talked to Coach Hussey about just the joy that you saw in her. Would the two of you sort of kind of recreate that conversation and just talk a little bit about, I guess, Colleen, what you noticed in Holly and how you can relate to that, I guess?
Sure. I don't know Holly really well. I know her through mutual friends and acquaintances and whatnot, but I did meet her for the first time at Coaches Academy in Denver years ago, and then reunited, reconnected, listened to her teaching at Camp Elevate last summer, and just and then have been on some phone calls and some various opportunities professionally to learn and grow from her. And I just told her I've never seen her so relaxed, happy and full of joy as she's talking about her team and her program. And I could listen to her stories forever. And I think there's just a marked moment at some point. I'm looking forward to hearing it today about how that transformation very serious years ago when I heard her talk and, you know, very organized, extremely detailed. You blew me away at the opportunities I had to hear you. But I've just seen a different perspective and I'm looking forward to hearing more about that today.
Yeah, that was a day, you know, Colleen has taken her team. She's a fall sport. So you and Colleen, you know, really worked on the Habitudes with Colleen's team in the fall. And Colleen was nice enough to share with me what she did with her team in the fall. So I really had a really good roadmap to follow. And one of the things Colleen had done with her team was to give her each one of her team members a key. And I tied it to the habitude of are you a guest or are you a host? And that habitude is about, you know, when you come together as a team, do you act like you're a guest within the group or do you act as the host within the group? And the theme of protecting your house. And this is your house. And it's our job to protect our house and to be the guests of the house. And so I had called Colleen for more details on how to carry out this habitude, guests and hosts and protecting the house. And so we had a great conversation. I was actually at the hardware store buying the keys. And we had a great conversation around this particular habitude and how to institute it. And then the day that I actually did it, our team was coming from weights. So I had a table out and I had all the keys on the table. And Colleen had coached me through. You put a number on all the keys. And they had to pick out which key was their personal key. And then they had to come up with a combination to get into the locker room door. And if they picked the right combination, then there was a gift or a prize in there that they got to keep. But if they didn't get it right, then they didn't get the gift or the prize. So we have the keys laid out and they quickly know that their key has their jersey number on it. So they get that part figured out. And then they quickly realize that if they add up all those jersey numbers, that's the combination to get into the house, the locker room. And so they get to keep the prize, which was a shirt that then from that point on was our Protect the House shirt. And we wore it before every home game at practice, the last practice before our home games to remind us, you know, this is protecting the house. And they put the key on their bags. And, you know, I could say over and over, hey, let's have, you know, let's be good at home. Let's play well at home. Let's have a good record at home. But using that habitude and the idea of the keys and the combination and the t-shirts, wow, took it to a whole nother level. And we just had our last home weekend And we finished 13-5 at home this year, which is by far the best record we've ever had at home. So that's kind of where all that story came from.
Mm-hmm. So I guess let me kind of back up for people. What you just described there is sort of the secret sauce with Habitudes. And so we're talking a little bit about how Habitudes have helped you experience coaching differently. But part of it is that you're being epic. And so when we say epic, we're not just baby boomers and Generation X people trying to sound cool. Epic is a formula that Growing Leaders talks about. And it stands for experiential, participatory, image rich, and connected. And so whether it's an image that we're trying to pass on to teams, or it's just an everyday lesson, we're trying to be epic. And can you both just sort of talk about what you think? Now, this is not an instant fix. And Colleen and I actually have a funny story that I would love to share with the audience. She's giggling because she knows. She knows she did it. She knows she said what I said she said. But we'll get to that later. Will you just both talk about how that term and how Habitudes has helped you connect with your players?
I think the Habitudes and just the way we engage their connection to us right away. So we bring them into a room prior to the start of a week. We have weekly themes and weekly Habitudes that we establish from the start of the week. So we get their attention, and we practice in the morning. So it's a 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. conference room. Let's get this kicked off. And it's very short, but it engages our student athletes to where they pay more attention to us, because we're not standing up in the front of the room lecturing to them. It's interactive. We actually had two very creative classmates. They would write a whole bunch of stuff on the, they draw being creative on the dry erase board in the front of the room. We tell them the theme for the week. They would kind of doodle and scribble. And when the student athletes come in as a team, they have notebooks, and they're prepared and ready to take notes and lessons, because they also understand this is very unique and no other program is doing this. And just the time and resources, the investment we're making in one another is very special.
Yeah. How about you, Holly? What have you noticed? Like, how does that help? How does it help that you're, you know, doing some fun trinket stuff? How does that help you connect?
Well, a couple things. You know, the diamond of success is my philosophy, and it's laid out on a softball field, and our core values of and standards around our program are on the diamond of success. And they have a whole handbook on that. And it was eye-opening to me when I had them close their books, put them under the table, draw out the diamond of success for memory. And I would have given, like, all but maybe two people an F on this assignment, because they had no idea what the categories were or where they belonged on the diamond. And I've been teaching the diamond since 2001. So, you know, in my mind, it's as clear as it is in their mind, which is not true at all. So when I started using the Habitudes, it's like, okay, how do I make the diamond epic? So what we did was we went through each category on the diamond, and we put a link for it. So there's a link that represents mental toughness. There's a link that represents team building, a link that represents work ethic, attitude, team spirit, skills and strategies. So there are 11 links, and this was an idea I got from Tree on. So now when I start practice and I have the links, which, so they have an image, they're like, oh yeah, you know, this is mental training, and we have to make sure that link is tight and it's at second base. And oh yeah, that's the positive attitude link, and it's in center field, and we got to make sure that's tight. And so then they took from that and made their own version of the link and kept that on their bags. So, like, I remember one of our freshmen who's probably not anticipating that she's going to play a lot. She had a bag tag with her last initial, which is an M, Metter. But she's like, surrender the me for the we. So if I have it upside right, if I have it this way, it's M for me. But if I turn it the other way, it's W for we. So, you know, taking different aspects of the diamond and putting it, you know, p- picking out those aspects that would pertain specifically to them. Another athlete had a bunch of trinkets on her bag. One of them was blue. She's like, I need to remember to hydrate. And so this blue bean reminds me to hydrate. So, you know, that is one way that we use it. The other way, you know, we use it in a lot of ways, but our core values, you know, every year we have core values, and how do you get them to live and breathe the core values? So we had seven seniors and they were all in charge of a core value. And at the beginning of every game day, they talked about their core value and what they wanted the team to do in terms of their core value. And so I said, bring with you an image that represents your core value. So one of the core values is pound the stone, you know, until you have that breakthrough moment in the game or the season, you got to pound the stone. So our senior Allie, who's in charge of that, every game day brought a hammer with her to the circle, you know, when she talked about her core value. Another one that I loved was exceptional effort. And our center fielder, Easy, was in charge of that. And she brought a clothespin. And she said, exceptional effort is about clamping down and not letting up until that last pitch, that last play is made. So let's, you know, clamp down with that exceptional effort. So, you know, we incorporated the steps of being epic into the diamond. We incorporated it into the core values, and it has made a huge difference in their understanding of the philosophy of our program and living and breathing the core values.
That's awesome. So talk a little bit about, so Colleen, last season in the fall, like there was a little stretch in there that it didn't go perfect. This doesn't mean we're going to win every single match or every single game on the softball field, but there was a noted difference that you and I had talked about in terms of your level of communication with the team during that rough stretch. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. It gives us like a common language, and the language becomes something that whether it be phrases, and what we've done is we've taken the habitudes as the learning principles, because they're a visual learning leadership principle for them to understand what we're trying to get across. So what you and I would remember as being accountability, they see it as a guardrail. So now we have a very shared language, which we can bring up at any particular time, and they understand the meaning behind it. And it's not just words. It actually is a visual image to them. So during that stretch, you know, the conversations were very much centered on, let's make sure that we're buying into the process. The process started with this particular conversation, and let's carry that through and not think about the outcome so much. So it's a paradigm shift for us mentally. It's definitely a shift for me generationally, because this isn't the way I was growing and learning to coach or to play the game myself. However, it's effective and it's working through the shared understanding of the concepts we're trying to teach.
Well, for sure. You know, you just brought up paradigm shift, and I was going to actually ask both of you that. I think as coaches, we get wrapped up, and I hear this conversation all the time about, you know, kids these days and cell phones and technology. And I know for sure, Colleen, because we've talked about it, you shifted your paradigm. And I have to imagine that, Holly, the same is true for you in terms of like we can get mad at it, or we can sort of change our approach. Can you both sort of talk about that and just how you're viewing and how you've kind of changed and how you look at them and how you kind of channeled your frustration into productive means, I guess, in order to coach them?
Sure. With the student athletes right now, I think the biggest change in my mindset has been they don't know any different. And I spent time being frustrated. They're not understanding what I'm trying to tell them. And I want to control that opportunity, because that's our livelihood. I gave way to, I really want to sit back and listen. And as I sat back and listened to their frustrations or why they were struggling with a particular area of their lives, whether it be academics or athletics or just off the court in general, I really heard what they were saying. And we recreated some of these situations ourselves and really asked for their opinions on how to counter a challenge that they were walking through together. And that's really been a big shift. I got away from the blaming of, well, they just don't understand, or they're not being taught this at an early age, or they're not hearing the concept their club coach or their high school coach or travel ball coach is trying to teach them. We embraced it as a challenge together, and they saw that we bought in with them and we were there together with them. But there was a marked moment where I understood that it wasn't working, and then all of a sudden they understood and we got more out of them because a bond was being formed. They were trusting us because we were coming over to, there weren't sides. There was just a mutual understanding, a unique perspective that they appreciated what we were trying to help with, and we appreciated where they were coming from. And when that relationship is developed and there's trust and a safe place being built, then there was definitely more production happening in the process we were trying to establish.
That's awesome. Holly, what do you think?
I think this generation, they, you know, part of EPIC is they want to participate and they want to be involved in the decision-making. They want to be involved in the motivation. They want to be involved in the inspiration. You know, years ago, I would make the inspirational videos. And now one of my players throughout the season has the GoPro and they make the videos themselves. And I love that. I mean, why fight how much they want to be involved in the process?
And they're better than us.
Yes.
And technology, they're so much better. I mean, yeah, right. Go, here it is. Go have at it. And I love that they, you know, want to participate and be involved in how things are done within the culture of our program.
Yeah, no, I think that's super important. You know, I would love to hear, I know that Holly, you did some different stuff when you and your players reported for season to sort of get their attention and let them know this will be different and to inspire them to want to be there instead of it being their have to, it gets to be their want to. And I know, obviously, Colleen, I know that we did some stuff differently, you know, in terms of how they reported last year. I would love for both of you, not just to talk about exactly what happened, and you can certainly get into that, but what did you feel the difference was in that? Go back to the first week of practice. How did it feel differently? And I guess relate it to how you had them report.
Well, we typically have a report day in August, and everyone knows, you know, the beginning of report day, they get their equipment and it's all fun. It's like Christmas in August. And then after that, we have a series of meetings, and the meetings are things that we can't control. And we have to go through a compliance meeting and various things, but it's really a couple hours long. And then we have a team meeting, and that was always my highlight. Cause I'm like, okay, I get to share everything we've been working on for the last 4 or 5 months. And here's a handbook. And, you know, just like Holly's saying, you know, I knew everything in that handbook cause I wrote it and I'm so passionate about it. And here's a commitment at the end and here's our schedule and nutrition and blah, 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 blah. So we decided, obviously, a mutual decision together with U-Tree and having the foundation of the Habitudes throughout the spring season that previous year, that we were going to make a different report day experience for them. And it was going to involve very little in the classroom. And it was going to be more of a experiencing the community on campus and then ending with kind of a bang. So we recreated everything. We took our handbook and streamlined it to making it a very small but very effective compass. And that kind of the whole genesis of our season was taking flight. And take flight had to do with so many different avenues, whether it be our compass with the handbook, to the actual place that we were going to have our debrief. And it was kind of a Top Gun style. It was the 30th anniversary for Top Gun last year. And it was, we found a place in town called the Air Zoo. And the Air Zoo is a huge museum, so to speak, for everything taking flight. And they have a mezzanine level. And we were up top and we set it up like a debrief, kind of a Top Gun mission debrief area. And we had their compasses on the table and these big fighter jets were behind us. And we had simulator experiences with them. And we really captured their attention. And throughout the day, we had some different team building exercises where they had to finish things together and work together towards it. And take flight became our theme. So then going into the gym the next day for our very first practice, they understood what taking flight meant. And taking flight was not only literal, but figuratively, they were taking flight of our season, and the beginning of a season, the beginning of a new era. They're leaving their legacy. So many different phrases came from that. But we grew as a group together. And we put videos online and we had t-shirts, and throughout the year we had different themes and we kicked off every week with a new theme based upon our opponents. So we took it to another level We had trinkets that they earned. They had lost opportunities if they didn't fulfill the process that week. And we really tried to focus on the experiences and participation and just overall engagement, and much more engaging group than we've ever had because of how we started our season.
Now, before we hear from Holly, I just want to kind of dive into that just a little bit. So you didn't win every game. In fact, were this number six seed going into your conference tournament. It wasn't an instant fix, right? And I think this kind of brings me to that moment that we've talked about before, which was my favorite moment of the season. And it was the day after the MAC tournament. Can you just go in a little bit of that ride in the MAC tournament and how, yes, there's a certain amount of luck that goes into that. And everybody will look at that and say, oh, you just had a really good week. But that started the previous spring. And can you just talk about the process and then, you know, all the threats that you made to me? I say that tongue in cheek, of course.
Well, clearly the ebbs and flows of a season are not perfect. And there was a lot of learning to be done throughout the season. Foundations were being laid, experiences, failures, successes throughout. I mean, just a typical season. About 2 weeks prior to the conference season or our conference tournament, we were not playing particularly well, but they had a moment in the locker room, I think, that was very powerful. And there was a very trusting environment where they were able to talk to one another without our staff in there. Going into the conference tournament, we were prepared. We were ready. But there was a marked moment there where we saw the change in our leadership, the change in the culture that was being cultivated throughout practice, and just the overall buy-in. And Tree did a tremendous job just helping the girls relax, be themselves. We had just an opportunity to enjoy the moment and the process, and our staff stepped back and just watched it happen. They were relaxed during timeouts. They were dancing on the sidelines. Their personalities were coming out. Coaches would hesitate to call challenges simply because they knew our team was more relaxed than their teams were. And I think just overall the experience that we had as a group was very powerful and not perfect. And I think we all admitted that we had to be patient in the process. There was many, many moments where True would come to me and say, they're getting it. They're getting it. Be patient. She said, drip, drip, drip. And I said, I just wanted to punch her and say, but they're not getting it fast enough. Turn the faucet on faster, right? Because in my mind, I knew, I saw, I had experiences, I had perspective. They were getting there, and it was the perfect time for them to understand it together. And that's essentially why we were so successful this year in that conference tournament, because of what we'd gone through together, and they saw the buy-in from the staff and one another, and the just the strength that we found together.
And I think you would say, and I think one of the players actually said this, one of the seniors, we didn't win that tournament, but we won. And
absolutely.
In terms of the experience that they felt like they had and the way everybody else took notice, like we won. And I think that joy that we saw them have, I think, was the most fulfilling thing in the world.
We were on to something very special, and we won the battle, so to speak, of how to connect with this team.
Well said. Exactly. So Holly, you did some different stuff, and I know because you were going to have a countdown clock, and you added some, I think, music to your stations, and you kind of made for an environment that would be different for them because you all wanted to march off the map and do some things, and you're right in the middle of it right now. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yes, but I want to go back to Colleen's story about Take Flight and what one of your players, when you asked them what Take Flight meant, didn't she say, I feel like our plane has been in the hangar while all the other planes are taken off. Ours is stuck in the mechanics, shop. I thought that was awesome. I mean, making that connection. They start making those connections when you start talking like that. And I thought that was phenomenal. Yeah, our start of our season is spring. So ours kind of evolved as the year went on. Because one of the things we did in November was we did some training with an Army group from Fort Sill, and we happen to have an alum there who is the first female commander of the 100th Battalion there, and she brought some of her guys up, and so we did some military-type training with them, And then I was with Tree and we're talking about, you know, what theme could we have? And like, you know, we've been working with the Army and who marches, the Army marches. So we already kind of have that theme going. So we made our mission this year to march off the map, to go into uncharted territory, to do things that this program's never done, or at least hasn't done in a long time, and to do it in a way that no other team has done it. And our team just grabbed hold of that march off the map. And we talked about how it's not, you don't wait till the end of the season to see if we marched off the map. We have opportunities every day to march off the map. And how are we going to march off the map today? And that's how we incorporated the Habitudes into how we were going to march off the map every day. For example, we went to play Tulsa. Tulsa is a team we hadn't beaten in 12 years. They're typically a team that goes to the regionals, very high, highly competitive, high-quality team. Hadn't beaten them in 12 years. So we used the Habitude windshield and rearview mirrors. And what better time to use that than when you're getting on a big bus that has this huge windshield and these huge rearview mirrors on it. And, you know, so we leave the parking lot with that thought in mind. This is what's in the rearview mirror for us, and this is what the windshield is. And I had a talk with Tree, and Tree talked me through, you know, talk about what does the road represent? Well, the road represents run production. Like, we had one goal this year, and it's to double our run production in conference. Because if we can do that, we can compete for a championship. Our pitching's there, our defense is there. So the road's run production. And like, okay, that makes sense. But then you've got buildings. What are the buildings? The buildings are the small things we have to do on pitching and defense. You know, get the lead out, throw strikes, get ahead in the count. Those are the buildings, the strategy around pitching and defense. What's the trees and the sky? What do they represent? Well, they represent the life of the team and the energy that we bring to the game and the dugout. And the billboards. The billboards represent our mindset. What do the billboards say? The billboards say first win against Tulsa since 2006. You know, so we had that talk before we get there. And within the first two innings, we're down like 4-0. And I'm thinking, okay, same old, same old. But by the seventh inning, we had beaten them. We had beaten them. And I had said to Tree, the whole time I'm talking to their coach before the game, I'm thinking, in this scenario, he's the deer in headlights because he doesn't even see what's coming. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, marching off the map and using the Habitudes to figure out how to march off the map every day. And I'll tell you what has made the biggest difference for me is giving myself permission to march off the map. Mm-hmm. To be different, to respond different. Like if we as a team are going to march off the map this year, it starts with me marching off the map and me being different and me communicating different and me handling loss different and me handling, you know, discipline different. And I have loved the freedom to be a different coach with the theme and the Habitudes of marching off the map.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's so cool. You know, there's so many moments that I think about when I'm watching, you know, Western, their volleyball team play, and when I'm, you know, vicariously watching the Missouri State softball team play, and just the joy that I see in both of you as you're coaching. And that's pretty awesome just to think about. If we change, we ask our players to change. We ask our players to trust the process. We ask our players to do things differently all the time. And I think what both of you have done over the course of just kind of adopting this and learning more from Dr. Elmore and Growing Leaders is just that we have to do the same thing. There's a moment, Colleen, I don't remember for sure if you were in the arena with Ohio. I know that you've heard me talk about this before, but there was a moment that I think they almost made a statement in that players want this. Can you talk? Do you know the moment that I'm talking about?
I do. I was not in there. So I don't know where I was at the time. You shared it with me. So I think that would be fair for you to ask you to share the story.
No, that's okay. That's fair. I just want to, because I won't, it's something that Holly just said, and it's something that we've talked about all the time, and just hearing from the players. There was a moment during an early match, and Western was going to play in the evening match, and the team was up in the stands. And Ohio's bench started to do one of the crazy things that the Broncos had been doing during the previous day, and they got done, and the Bronco players clapped for them. And I think they were kind of being a little catty, possibly, like, hey, you stole our thing. But the coolest thing happened. The entire bench and those walking back on the court for Ohio pointed up, like, with seriousness to the team as if to say, thank you. We want it. This is how we want to be coached. And I think that that's really powerful. And when I hear Holly, when I hear you talking about, you know, some of the things that happened this weekend for your senior weekend at Missouri State, that kind of joy, I think joy is in two parts. It's part, like, you have to grow every day, but it's also part, like, happy, happy, fun joy. And it is a game. I would love to hear any examples that either of you have. I know, Colleen, you talked about a couple of, like, a van ride this spring where there was conversation happening that just hasn't happened, you know, with the staff in a long time. And Holly, I would love to hear from you, like, what are some of the little differences that you think maybe can be attributed to the deeper connection that you both have with your players now, because you're just, all you did is change the language. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I think the biggest change that we've seen is that they want to be around us. And, you know, again, I looking back, hindsight's 2020. We often talk about teams in the past that we had a strong connection and a relationship with our players, because that's more than why I do this, is for the relationships with the players, not for the wins and losses, but to develop young women. And you often talk about the people that come back, and we have alumni that come back and want to spend time with us and whatnot. But there was a moment there, you know, a couple, 2-3 years there, where we didn't see that same reciprocation in relationship from the student athletes. And I don't know that they knew how to engage in a, you know, healthy relationship off the court with us. We were their coaches, and there was a hesitation. So when we started to bring some of these habitudes and these shared languages, and there was that buy-in, not only were they stopping by our office all the time and just wanting to be around us and not leaving, there was a language, a true love that we shared with one another. We didn't even have to say it. There was just a trust that we had together. And I shared a story this past spring with Tree. We had two of our upperclassmen, and typically we travel in the spring in vans, just going very short distances. We don't take buses. I am the van that no one wants to be in. I mean, let's face it, right? I'm the oldest on our staff, and just I'm hit that road. You know, as an assistant coach, I was the one that was a cool one that had the radio on and talked about whatever they want to talk about. Well, I'm unfortunately now a passenger in the van that they don't want to be in. So, you know, let's call it what we see it. But two seniors were in our van, and the freshmen were behind, and the seniors stayed awake amazingly. They kept their phones off. They didn't have their earbuds in. And they talked to us for about 2 hours, and we shared things and talked about things, and asked our opinion on things and asked for clarification. It was enlightening on both fronts, and it was really healthy. And we came back to campus, and they're like, yeah, like, that was really weird. The freshmen didn't say anything. And they're like, they were in awe. They didn't even know what to say. Right. But it was really cool. It was a really cool trip, and one that we'll remember for a long time.
How about you, Holly? Have you felt those differences?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind around this question for me is now I make up my own habitudes. And we were at Loyola last weekend in Chicago. And Loyola's, you know, good enough to beat the best teams in the league. They just beat Drake, who was undefeated. But still a series. Well, one of the ways we wanted to march off the map is Loyola hasn't been in our league very long. And so this was only our third trip to Chicago. And our two former trips to Chicago, we had not won the series. We split once, and then once we lost 2 out of 3. And I'm going into the week like, I hate going to Chicago because the snow is going to be blowing sideways. That's not really good weather for softball. The bus can't get around because of all those darn overpasses. And we've never had fun in Chicago. And I start turning my attitude around like, we are going to have the greatest trip going to Chicago. So we go to Chicago and we win the first game, we lose the second game, and we had it won with like 2 outs in the 7th. And then like some unlucky things happen. And it's the kind of loss that if your team isn't really tightly connected, can just throw you into a tailspin, right? But because I feel of the habitudes and our communication then and the chemistry that we built, we really withstood this loss, because it was also the kind of loss like, well, if you had just fielded that ball and thrown somebody out in the second inning, that would have never happened and we still would have won. Or if you hadn't thrown that pitch and hit that person wouldn't have been in base. Or if you would have been playing in front of the bag instead of behind the bag, we would have won. We would have made that catch. You know, it's the kind of loss like you could start pointing fingers at. And I felt like myself, I was like dissecting every play of this game. And I'm like, okay. And then we had a team meeting. It was like microscope or telescope, microscope or telescope. Like right now we've got the microscope on this one game that just got away from us. But if we look through the telescope instead, we've won 9 out of our last 10 games. And that one loss is an extra inning loss on the road. Like, let's look through the telescope instead of the microscope here. And I think all the things that we had done leading up to that moment, in terms of the habitude and our communication process, really helped us get right back on track. Because since that game, we've gone on to win our next 4. So, you know, I feel like that was, those things were real difference makers in that moment when things could have really started to spiral downhill again.
That's really cool. You know, I want to start to wrap up here, but I wanted to ask both of you, and I'm sure maybe you have had these conversations and maybe not, but you know, I just think of the skeptic, you know, that coach out there that's like, how are a bunch of images going to help me win more games? How in the world are you saying you like more coaches because of a bunch of images and stories? How would you answer that?
I was one of those skeptics. I sat in those meetings and I went, well, I was remember being so belligerent, like even at the coaches academy, like, well, why do I have to do all this? Why do I have to change? They're the ones earning the scholarships, right? Why me? And I remember being upset, but yet something inside said, you have to change. And I knew, I didn't know how. And so I think if nothing else, Habitudes has been my foundation for why we do what we do with these student athletes. And just like Holly was saying, then the books you read and the conversations you have, and you start to create your own, and it's a shared language and it's contagious. And if we ask our student athletes to believe in the process, and I'm not believing in the process, I'm contradicting myself. And our staff is contradicting what we're saying. So we catch ourselves saying, we're not setting out to win this game. We're setting out to succeed in the process that we've established since Monday to be successful on the court against such and such team. And if at the end of the day, we come up short, we have so many things to really believe in. And I used to say that, but not really believe it. Now I say it and I live it.
How about you?
Yeah, I think Colleen summed it up extremely well. Like we're still in season, we're like to, if this is a marathon and you're going to run 26.1 miles or something, we're at mile 22, 23. And being able to stay in the moment, instead of, you know, looking ahead to that conference tournament, has been what we're focused on. And there's a great habitude for that called destination or journey or destination. And, you know, that's been our focus, and our kids have really done a great job staying in the moment, taking one game at a time. And just a little thing like, okay, we've got to stay in the moment here. I brought the clock out from the locker room and put it in the dugout. Like, this is the moment. This right here is the present moment. You know, saying it is one thing, but having the image of the clock is another thing. And I love, like, okay, what can I come up with next? What can I talk to Tree about next? That, because now our conference tournament's coming up, and it's like, all right, you know, and as I talk about it, I'm thinking, you know, every great story and every great season saves the best for last. And as great as our season has been, you know, what is going to be the storybook ending to this season? So something around that is, you know,
you're looking for the encore effect. That's
right. Yeah. There you go. Okay. We got to talk about that.
That's your next habitude, right? That's going to be your final habitude, the encore effect.
Okay. Perfect.
So I just want to sum this up for everybody as we're starting to kind of, you know, go out and just get your thoughts about this if you want. But I think something that you said prompted me to remember this, Colleen. I think one of the most important things, and something that I say all the time when I'm working with coaches, is just, and it's something I constantly have to remind myself, they don't know. They don't necessarily know how to connect face to face because they've never been forced to do it. They don't know necessarily how to take responsibility for this and this and this because they've never had to do it. So they used to be just a little bit more prepared coming in to the college level, for sure, in terms of how to just, you know, operate in life. And they don't necessarily have that same skill set. And so, yeah, you know what? Maybe it sucks that it has to, that it's falling on coaches, but it is. And at the end of the day, we want to be successful. We want to put our teams in a position to win, right? So we're not saying, and this is something, Colleen, you know, we've been working on something for the locker room that I won't disclose here, but quite extensively in just terms of words. And words are really important. And we're not saying discipline and hard work and resilience aren't still important. We're just saying we're going to say them differently. And I think that's a little bit what Habitudes helps coaches do. Do either of you have anything, like, either on that or just anything else in terms of how growing leaders and Dr. Elmore's work and Habitudes have helped you, or advice to give coaches as we kind of leave, just to leave them with some value, other than all the amazing ideas you've both kind of spouted out during the hour? Is there anything else you have to add or talk on that?
Well, I think if just an endorsement, if you can't get to Camp Elevate and you're still interested in some of this information, Growing Leaders is just an amazing opportunity for you, because it starts off as a motivation to connect with student athletes, but at the end, it changes who you are. It changes what you do, and it changes how you see the world. And it helps with relationships with your staff, with your administration, with your family at home, your children, whatever. We have to evolve and change. And we're asking our student athletes to do that. We have to be the ones to be the catalyst of that as well. So it's an investment you make in you. And that's what this whole premise is about with Camp Elevate and what Celia does with her programs. Invest, take the time to do this, because they're onto something really, really powerful.
That's awesome.
Well said. As far as a specific example, one of our core values is, you know, the concept of selflessness. I mean, you talk about selflessness. A couple of years ago, we had Courtney Conley on our staff, and she won a national championship at Alabama. And people would always ask, Court, what does it take to win a national championship? And she never said great pitching, timely hitting, perfect defense. It was the first word out of her mouth was selflessness. Selflessness. And sometimes we overlook that. But I don't talk to my team anymore in terms of selflessness. We turned it into surrender the me for the we. Surrender the me for the we. And how did we make an image out of it? Again, from Tree, I got everybody a link. And every game day, we link those together. So they create one link. And then on practice days, the first practice day, they get their link back. It's like, now you're an individual and you have to go back and work on your individual skills and your individual goals and your individual dreams. But when we come together on game day, we surrender the link, because we're surrendering the me for the we. And our senior, Sarah Jones, who has this core value, is, I mean, every day she has something else phenomenal to say about surrendering the me for the we and make the hard choice. We all want to be in the game. We all want to play. But even if you're not, surrender the me for the we, because when one of us wins, we all win, you know? And that is so much, goes so much further than me talking about selflessness.
Huh. That is awesome. I'm, we're stealing that. You took it up like four notches.
Awesome.
And what she's talking about, just to give everybody an idea, if you get a chain link, I think they're called quick links. Isn't that what Kyle and Ryan researched for us, Colleen? They're called
right.
Quick links, and they're the chain links, but they screw together. And so you can kind of use them as you want to make a chain. So that's fun. So I want to thank both of you. I'm really excited. So Dr. Elmore is going to be at Camp Elevate. And for those of you who haven't signed up, the registration is still open. And Dr. Elmore is going to be with us on the first day in a couple of different sessions. And so I got to tell you, I've read every word he's ever written, but I learned something new every single time I'm in a room with him. So I'm very excited for that. But I want to thank both of you on behalf of True North Sports for sharing this hour and your thoughts and just being vulnerable enough to share with us. Like, these are some of the things that I struggled with, but now this is how it's working for us. So thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I would love to see all of our listeners out there at Camp Elevate. It is going to be a phenomenal event with tremendous speakers, including Dr. Elmore. But this is, if you go to one professional development thing this year, make it be Camp Elevate. It's going to be awesome.
I want to thank you all for listening in. If this podcast has added value to your day, I just ask that you do two things. Share it with a friend in the coaching world, and if you're so inclined, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. The more people we can add to this wonderful coaching tribe, the better for everyone. As you head out to your day, just a quick reminder, to find out more information on Camp Elevate, go to truenorthsports.net or find us on Facebook by searching True North Sports. Thank you, Tree, Colleen, and Holly, for taking the time out of your day to participate in this podcast and giving us such a good show. Once again, thank you for listening to Coaches on the Rise, a True North Sports podcast. I'm Ramat Olasant, and I've been your host.